I'm joined by Brittany Jacobs. She is the executive director of the Burlington Public Library, and we're going to talk about a couple of very special things that are going on. One that is going on very soon, and the other one that is happening next month. We've talked about that one before, but good morning to you, Brittany.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
It is great to... We got a release last week that said something that told, or a name I'd never heard of, or a feature I've never heard of, a new language learning platform available. It's called Mango Languages, and Mango Languages sounds to me like something you see in the South Seas.
Yeah, this is the library's equivalent to Duolingo, which is a very popular language learning app. So Mango Languages is both a browser-based and an app-based language learning platform. And we had it several years ago. It was a resource provided by the state library, but due to state budget cuts, it was eliminated. We're talking pre-pandemic. And we've had so many requests, lately from people wanting to learn new languages, either because they're going on the Chamber's trip to Portugal or to Spain or wherever they're headed, or they have new neighbors from Ukraine and they want to learn some Ukrainian to be able to have conversations with them. And so we've been receiving a lot of requests to have additional language learning platforms added.
Is it a relatively early or a relatively quick way to learn language, Brittany?
Yes. Yep. And it's completely self-paced. So however fast you learn, this app will go right along with you. And it's, as I mentioned, you can do it on your computer browser, or you can use the app on a tablet or on a phone.
Okay, so this covers virtually every language, is that right?
We've got over 70 languages in our fleet right now, but if there is a language that we don't have that someone is interested, we could purchase the license for that specifically. So, yeah, if you don't see what you're looking for, then don't hesitate to let us know and we can... added on there for you.
Okay, I'm going to guess French, German, a lot of we would consider the normal or the regular languages that you get in school, but I'm going to guess, you said Ukraine, what are some of the other languages that seem to be most popular, do you know?
Well, we've only been live with this here for, about a week and a half, 2 weeks maybe. And Ukrainian is by far the most popular with the users that have registered with their library cards. But they're across the nation. There's American Sign Language is a popular one that they push a lot, which is interesting to think about that as a language learning opportunity through an app like this. But ASL is a real popular one. There's Mandarin. There's just about anything that you can...
Okay.
Think of Afrikaans. There's a lot of different languages available on there.
Learning language. You know, the other thing is that I'm amazed because we get the information each month on all of the things that are going on at the library, and that list seems to get longer and growing all the time. That is truly amazing because I know you're dealing with limited budgets, so I'm going to guess the friends of the library are helping you out a little bit, aren't they?
Oh, tremendously. The friends of the library pay for 100% of the operating budget of all programs. So anytime you participate in something at the library for free, that's because the friends have paid your way to do that, essentially. We don't get any tax dollars for programs or events. It's all friends of the library. So go to their book sales, because every time you support them through a book sale, those dollars come right back and support the library to host this ever-growing list of programming opportunities that we have for the public.
Well, I've delivered hundreds of books from authors that I have on the show to the friends of the library, so hopefully that helps them as
yes,
well.
It does.
But again, we're talking about Mango Languages. Do you have any idea where that name came from, by the way?
You know, I had a suspicion that you were going to ask me that, so I did a little digging this morning, and I can't find why they call them Mango. But I have a meeting with our point person later this week, so I'll ask her and then I'll relay that back to you.
Okay. Mango languages. It's a language learning technique that is all at your own pace and a relatively quick way to learn a language that you're trying to, as I said, trying to recover. Ukraine, you mentioned Ukrainian is a big deal right now, but I guess places that you'd like to visit would certainly be on that list as well. You've got a very special, we've talked about it before. It's hard to believe that it's already almost here because it seemed like forever ago when we talked.
Yeah.
But it's called Americans and the Holocaust. And this is a national exhibit. And there's only 50 libraries in the United States, and we're the only one in Iowa, right?
Yep. It was an application process, and we were one of 50 chosen to host this exhibit. So we were actually given notice 2 years ago, so it does seem like a long time ago because it was a long time ago. But here we are. It's going to be opening on Wednesday, August 19th, so we're in the home stretch now. But we have been preparing and planning for the last 2 years, eager to host this world-class exhibit that the American and the Holocaust Museum is touring around.
I believe this is about a 1,500 square feet exhibit. Is that right? But where will you put the exhibit for the public?
So the exhibit will be on the east wing of the library, right in front of that big arched window that overlooks the Mississippi and the bridge. That space has for the last 6 years in our computer lab and magazine area. And so we've been bit by bit shuffling things around. And this has also been folded into a multi-year space reorganization plan that we have where we're intentionally creating some more places for people to sit and gather at the library. Part of that involved weeding some of the collection that hadn't circulated in 10 plus years. Parts of this involved moving computers and consolidating some of the technology, but we've cleared out that space. Right now, if you visit the library today, you'll notice that it's full of reclining chairs and we've got some nice plants in there. So it's already open and primed. And then the exhibit will fit nicely and we'll dedicate that area for the 6 weeks that we will be here at the library.
August 19th to September 30th is the time I have. And again, I'm going to guess, is this an interactive type of exhibit? Can you listen and see visuals as well as listen to talk? Is that right?
Yep, absolutely. Yep, there will be visual panels that you can walk around and read, and there will be an audio component as well. And then we have a supplementary programming docket that goes along with it. So we will release the Americans and the Holocaust specific program list here in the next week or two. And you can attend any of these programs that will complement the exhibit. And we also encourage everyone to visit the Danville and Frank Museum during this time. And we're partnering with that museum, and there will be some kind of collaboration between us in that you show your library card or some kind of ticket that we give you at the library, and you can get in for free at the Danville Museum. Oh. Because that's an incredible component of this story, and that's one of the things we wrote into the grant was that we have an unbelievable connection to Anne Frank here in Des Moines County, which is, who would have thought, in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, we have this direct connection to Anne Frank through a pen pal program that she was participating in with her Montessori school. So we've got quite a few things going on between an interactive exhibit and the Danville Museum and the programs that we're going to host here during that 6 week time.
You know, that's a connection there. But I guess when I hear the term Americans in the Holocaust, and I think, you know, Americans, I mean, the Holocaust, we can think of the entire Jewish population of Europe. How does that connect to America? I'm going to guess those who have escaped, those who've had a connection here, those who came to America after the Holocaust, all of those probably, I guess that would be some of the connection that we have. Is that right?
Yes, this exhibit specifically looks through the lens of information, which is why it's being hosted in public libraries across the nation. And when you look at it through the lens of information, then everyone is really impacted because there were articles in the newspaper. There was propaganda coming out from different kinds of governments at the time. It was a world event because it was one of those events that happened when we had global news and information could travel so much faster than humans could. And so we were able to, through print or through newscasts see and hear what was happening, but it was filtered through very tailored messaging. And so when we're looking at what did Americans know and could more have been done to push back against what Hitler was doing, we're looking at what kind of information did people have, Americans specifically. What were the newspaper articles saying? And so if you join us on that Saturday, September 5th, Terry Avers, who's a local historian, he's taking his monthly program, that's Yesterday's News, and specifically looking through the lens of the Holocaust, seeing what Burlington Hawkeye newspaper articles were they publishing about the Holocaust, and how did Burlingtonians react to that? If you join me on Thursday, August 20th, I'll be doing a program called the Library Bill of Rights, which is a document created by the Des Moines Public Library Director at the time, 1938. Forrest Spalding wrote this document in response to what he read and saw about books being burned in Nazi Germany. So when we say what role did Americans have outside of your ethnicity or your direct connection to any kind of Jewish community or Germany, everyone had some kind of connection through information. So that's the lens that we're looking at this through, to see what did they know? What were they reading? What were they hearing? How are they talking about it? Because that really impacts how we keep record of it and how the story continues to be preserved in history for us to look at for context for things that happen in modern day governments and oppression of peoples. And so then we can kind of overlay that and use it to help contextualize what we're seeing happening today.
It's always been amazing to me the number of Holocaust deniers, and also the fact is, my understanding, just as being a history major in college and doing some studying on that, is that a lot of the information was sort of filtered. A lot of it was somewhat managed to try to lessen the impact. And so, for most Americans, it really wasn't totally understood until the American troops went to Dachau and went to all of the other concentration camps and saw some of the horrors that was really going on. So anyway, this should be an interesting exhibit, and it should be, again, a chance to understand where we were and where we are. All of that happening Wednesday, August 19th to September 30th. Brittany Jacobs, thank you so much for joining me. We'll look forward to chatting with you again as we get to the actual exhibit, okay?
Fabulous. Thank you, Steve.